It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dyke, Joe Lineberrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt Lineberrier.
And I'm Billy the Kid.
You know, today's a great day for reflection. I've been thinking about some things. Part of it is because I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but today I'm 48 years old.
Oh, and happy birthday. You had no idea.
I am older than dirt. Yeah, I mean, literally, I'm older than Joe.
That's right. Oh, that's wonderful. Why are we here then?
Happy birthday, man.
Because it's what we do on
Monday
nights.
That's right. That's exactly right.
What
absolutely.
We do. And, you know, in thinking about things when you turn 48, you realize that we are completing this year, we are completing our 10th year on the air with Trackside Tonight here. We've moved our time slot around a little bit. We initially started out as a 7 o'clock program. And then
I actually competed with you, Randy. I was on a radio station here in, it was in Holly Hill. And I did two different ones, an FM and an AM. And I would actually go head-to-head, and your ratings totally eclipsed mine.
You gave up and joined the team.
Absolutely. But I do remember that. I mean, we would be done, and you talk about changing time slots. We would be done for the night. I would ride home and catch your program. I was like, wow, man, they got a great show over there.
Randy put you out of business.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Well,
I think Art Chapman was doing it with you then.
Yeah, Art was doing it. Hank Sanders. Hank and I were the original guys, and then Art joined us, and at various times, you know, some other people.
But Randy, it's, you know, it only makes sense. Here on Racing 1150, your MRN affiliate here in Volusia County, exclusively in Daytona Beach, Florida, that we're able to provide the listeners with a motorsports talk show, you know, on the local level.
Yeah, we'll be starting in August. August we start the 11th year.
Wow.
So it's hard to comprehend, honestly, that we've been doing it that long, but we have, and I think that the evolution of the show, this is the best product that we've had since we started, and you guys bring a lot to the table, and I'm grateful. I'm really glad to have two guys of your quality and obvious resources to come and make the deal happen. And I think we put on a pretty good program. And as you said, I mean, it works well. This is our community. We're a racing community.
Indeed.
Among other things, but we are a racing community.
And, you know, it's really a pleasure. And today you see so many internet-based radio programs and different motorsports talk shows that are able to be heard on the internet. They're a dime a dozen. I think have somewhat of an advantage, and it adds a little bit of, I don't know, validity, the fact that we are actually on Racing 1150 WNDB. It's really a pleasure to be on that. And, you know, with that said, Jack Smith with RealRacingUSA.com and Karnak are a motorsports resource that everybody, well, most people know about here. We're actually going to have him on the program here in just a few minutes, Randy, to talk about, you know, what he brings in our relationship with him.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've been doing the program so long. People like Jack and some others have picked us up and go and, you know, run our stuff on their different venues, and it's a real privilege to be associated with Jack and what he does. And, you know, I've not always agreed with everything I've seen, you know, that goes around the Karnak website, some of that stuff, but I appreciate the fact that you get a guy that is really, he promotes conversation and promotes just some real interest in the sport. I mean, people have a way to air their opinion.
He implores people and engages people. But what you have to remember, Randy, and Jack will certainly agree with this, you know, Karnak is a small part of the entire package. And, of course,
right,
the message board is what most people are familiar with, and that's what most people relate to. But that is probably the worst part of Karnak and Real Racing USA.
It's the most difficult to police, I think, for
a
time anyway.
Right.
But I think he's on the line, so let's go to him. Jack, you there?
I didn't do it.
You
didn't? I did not do it.
Guilty.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're with us, so thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
Jack, well, of course, you just had a birthday. Randy just talked about the fact that he turned 48 today. You're still quite a bit younger than him, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, what were you doing in Key West there? I'm just kind of airing everything.
It was pretty cool. Went down to Key West. Hadn't been there in a while. And my wife actually went down to swim with the dolphins at the Dolphin Research Center. And that was pretty cool.
But Jack,
had a great time.
You know, before we get into some of the other controversial stuff, tell everybody what you do, and let's give yourself a little commercial here.
Well, I guess we started doing the Karnak thing about the same time frame you started your show, Randy. We started late '97. We started doing this deal at Karnak, and it was focused, of course, entirely upon Florida in the first 3 or 4 or 5 years. And then, gradually since then, we've expanded it to cover short track racing, primarily short track racing, around the country through some various other sites that we run within the Karnak. The whole deal with Karnak is this. We started out, and we learned this from people outside of the racing community back then, that the best way that you could use the internet then, and it's still true today, is the sense of community and building community websites. And that was the whole focus, is we wanted to create a website where the racing community had a place that it could call its own. And it really, that's kind of where it started, and that's really what it is now too. I mean, although we do cover other stuff outside of Florida, I mean, we have Southern Short Track, and we have GeorgiaStockCarRacing.com and some other websites like that. I mean, of course, mostly Karnak, probably about 60% of the traffic is related to Florida racing.
I've seen it off and on over the years. It's a place for fans to vent their frustration. It's a place for race car drivers to vent their frustration with officials. It's a place for officials to vent their frustration with race car drivers. And then it's a place where there's a need, a driver's been injured, someone's been killed, there's been that sense of community takes over. And I've seen lots of good things happen through that Karnak website where everybody comes together, pulls together for a particular need. It's an interesting mix of thoughts and opinions and just a way to different expressions that people have about what's going on in the sport.
You're absolutely right, Randy, and I'll tell you that one of the hardest things about the whole deal was, not so much anymore, but it was for a long, long time, the message board was this incredibly sharp, double-edged sword. And, on the one hand, like you said, when Wild Bill Rivard died in a wreck in a figure-eight race at Sunshine Speedway, the outpouring and the sense of community that came across on that message board was, and everybody that was around then remembers it with clarity. It was just absolutely amazing. That was the place where people came, to express their thoughts about it all, and it was just really amazing. And then on the other hand, of course, we've had bar brawls on the internet. You know what I mean? And
right.
It's always been difficult. I think we finally got it figured out. But part of that was the whole thing was so new. That was part of it. It was so new. It was such a new medium for people. And not just race fans, but this was something that went on all of the... What happened on Karnak is not unique to Karnak. This was an internet-wide phenomenon that occurred. You know what I mean? And
I remember, even though you talk about it being Florida, specifically, or at least, in a bigger way, I remember when Dale Earnhardt Sr. was killed and how many different posts were on that site. So much emotion, so many different feelings that people had, and I really believe that it was good. It was so good that they had a place to go just to get out their sadness and their grief and their sorrow, and the Karnak site at that particular time gave them a place to go.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and I was in tourist-related businesses. before back in the 80s here in Florida. And you know, so I had an understanding going into the whole racing thing that, you know, a little bit of a perspective on Florida. You know, everybody in Florida either knows somebody like yourself. I mean, you're from up north originally, and
right.
And everybody in Florida pretty much either has relatives, a huge part of the population either is from somewhere else or they have relatives still up north. And so, and it's a destination place, you know. So Florida is a little unique among the United States, and that comes into play with this whole racing thing. So therefore, a Florida website for racing, we just naturally have a nationwide audience.
And Jack, early on here in 2008, when we began the season here on Trackside Tonight, certainly radio programs are a very important and critical component of what Karnak is all about. You contacted us, we corresponded with each other, and decided to pick up Trackside Tonight. What did you see in this program that you felt would add to Karnak?
Well, one is that you're coming out of Daytona, and you've been there for 11 years, and I thought that we could, you know, I mean, frankly, I just thought that we could add something to it by, you know, being able to archive the shows so that people could listen to it on demand as they wish, as a podcast or whatever, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
And I think that was something the show itself is great because you have the call-ins and you do have guests from Florida as well as all over the country,
sure.
But, you know, I thought that we could, you know, we could help expand what you guys are doing by making it available to more people, because one of the key elements of the whole multimedia thing on the internet is doing it when you want to do it, you know,
right.
Being able to listen when you want to listen or see it when you want to see it.
That's a great point. Well, a couple weeks ago we had a guest on, and apparently, you know, this particular individual is a competitor of yours, and so whether you wish to speak to it or not, we really felt like we got ambushed, honestly, to a degree, and we wanted to give you an opportunity to speak to that if you wish, or ignore it if you choose. I just want you to know that we certainly didn't set that up for it to come out the way that it did, and you know, if you can address it or not, whichever you choose.
Well, I will say a few things. I would say this, that, you know, anybody that knows me in this racing deal, who really has been around me, they know, I mean, I work, if I have a 70-hour week, that was a week I took some time off. I mean, I, you know, this is like a, not a hobby. This whole media deal is not a hobby. It's something that I, you know, I take seriously, and we work very, very hard at. And anybody that's been around me knows that, you know, what we're very, very proud of what we've done, given the resources that we have, you know, and we're not ESPN, and we're very proud of what we've done, and the people that give you an example. 2 weeks ago, Applebee's International contacted me in the afternoon one day, and you know, down at the scene where the Hialeah restaurant or the Hialeah Speedway was, they're building an Applebee's restaurant,
yeah,
on the site, and they wanted to they wanted our assistance in providing information so that they could build a mural inside this restaurant that depicted the history of the Speedway.
Wow.
Because that's a new method that Applebee's is doing around the country with their restaurants, with their new restaurants.
They try them into their themes are to the community that they're in.
Yeah.
Right.
So, first of all, we were able to respond back to the folks within an hour, and that shocked them. And within less than 48 hours or 72 hours, we had them everything they needed to be able to put together their whole deal, and we look forward when that place opens to going down there and being there when it opens to see that. And those kinds of things that we do that people rarely hear about, and those things go on day in, day out, and again, it makes us proud. Now, anybody, to speak specifically about that little deal there, that happened on your show. We've been ambushed once or twice on our own show, so I know what that feeling's like. It's an uncomfortable place to be, but, you know, as professionals, we have to deal with it. And I would say this, though. Anybody, a 14-year-old kid, not there's anything wrong with 14-year-old kids, can start a website. And anybody can basically put a message board. Anybody with the inclination and IQ over 80 can go start a website and a message board. And does that make you media? I don't think so. And I'll leave it at that.
All right.
Well, we appreciate it, and we want you to know that, that you know, we really felt like it was important that you have that opportunity. And you know, I know that in my own experience, and I speak with my own, you know, from my own experience, that you are motivated by those things that are pure about the sport, and you support the sport, and obviously, you know, you earn a living through that, but you have a, you know, you have a passion for what you do, and I've always found it to be very, very positive, and I appreciate that, and I thank you that that you joined us tonight, and that you've helped you know, advance the value of our program to at least some people out there think so.
Yeah, well, before you get rid of me here.
No, I'm not trying to get rid of you. Okay.
Okay, you know what I wanted to ask you guys is, you know, I'm quite frankly, I am a little concerned about, you know, the modified thing, the modifieds going into the gutter again is one thing, but this whole economic deal is like, it's a little troubling. I mean, it's more than a little troubling. It's majorly troubling, don't you think?
Well, I think the modified thing, you know, speaking first about that, is I think that's a function of, I think there were some poor choices and some poor decisions made as it relates to the modifieds.
Sure.
You know, the modified car in its origin was intended to be a really low budget race, or in a race car. It was intended to try to be something that you or I could build in our backyard without a body and let's go racing. Well, they were doing a really pretty good, you know, the last 4 or 5 years they started doing a pretty good job of managing that, and then then they did this extreme modified thing and completely ran everybody off again, because it became a deal where, you know, money won. At least, and I'm going to tell you something. I think that if you take that class and you say, okay, you're going to have it's going to cost you $15,000 to be involved in that class, you know, a race car engine, so on and so forth. I mean, that's an arbitrary number. But at the end of the day, those people who are good race car drivers are still going to win the class if they choose to race in that class. But it will allow more people to participate. You know, money definitely has its advantages in racing because it can help buy performance. But what they did, that extreme modified thing and the varying sets of rules that are out there are completely, you know, counterproductive. And guys are saying when it becomes so difficult to compete, the economy can become a very good excuse. But there are a variety of other excuses. You know, this modified deal was almost dead a few years ago, and the economy wasn't the excuse.
Well, when this happened, when the announcement was made 2 weeks ago, those of us, I guess you call us the guys insiders at Carnac, we didn't even give it another thought. It was not anything unexpected. I mean, we expected this. It wasn't a matter of if; it was a matter of when that it happened. Like you, it was pretty much what you're saying. It was dead in the beginning. But the thing that's always got me is, to me, as a race fan, the modifieds, the open wheel modifieds, is one of the most exciting classes of racing. And as everybody who's really associated with it knows, it can be and should be a rather inexpensive form of racing in the big scheme of things. And the promoters, I feel, are really missing the boat by not putting their heads together and fixing that. The reason I say that was when I first started going to races at DeSoto Speedway in the mid-90s, and I took a lot of people with me every week, new people who had never been there, week after week, and the modifieds were the most exciting thing to happen. When those bad boys came out onto that track, 25 or 30 of them, they're loud, they got open wheels, they can't They can't rub fenders. You know, when they do, they wreck. It's crazy. You know what I mean?
They hook you. They will hook you.
They look. They're the most exotic appearing of the group that we that we race.
Yeah.
You know, even though, I mean, and I say exotic, I guess, in a crude way. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah. On this modified deal, when they broke apart, you know, you had the Gulf Coast, and you had, I mean, there's a lot of modifieds in the state, as people
sure
know
is.
By now. And I thought, I feel the same way that you feel, Jack. I thought the day that they announced this extreme modified deal, I think they shot both feet off at the same time. And I think it had nowhere to go but down, because some of the lower budget teams weren't going to go run with the bigger budget teams. And that's the problem with these modifieds around the state. And it comes down to it. You go run one series, you got to change your motor. You run another series. And don't get me wrong, most of these guys don't have the motor. Like you guys said, it's more like a budget deal. But there's some guys that branch out that do have it. And I thought that instead of trying to have their own series for six or eight guys, why don't you just put a weight penalty in front of the flywheel and let them race? You know, I mean, if you got a big motor, we know you got a big motor. We can see when it runs and how it goes. You show up with a big motor, let's put a weight penalty in front of the flywheel so everybody can race and it be even for everybody.
You know, the direction, and that's a good point, but the direction that this thing is going right now is, I mean, there's some good modified cars out there that are not coming to race because
sitting
there's
on
no
jack
competition.
Stands. Robbie Hooper sitting on jack stands.
Just sitting on jack stands because there's no other cars to run. If they don't do something quick, you know, this is one of those things that could evolve right out of business, right? Gone.
You guys were talking about the economy and talking about, but, you know, if you look at this situation that's going around, I think a lot of it, and we talked about this before, and not putting anybody to blame, but it's hard to have a race series or two race series or three race series or four race. You have a race series now for every asphalt class there is. And it takes away from your Saturday night and your Friday night show if they're someplace else running or they're going to be someplace tomorrow. If you got a big super late model race on Saturday somewhere, the chances of you going and racing on Friday is slim to none. You're not going to tear your car up when you're going to go run tomorrow for the big money. And that's one thing I didn't understand is why you add this series, you add that series, you have a mini stock series, you have a sportsman series. I just didn't understand that. And now you have two or three mod series. I just never figured that out. And, you know, I guess it wasn't my perspective to figure it out, but you know what I mean.
Well, I look at the car counts. You guys are doing at Volusia and over what they do at East Bay and what's happening at...
We had 23 mods this week. 23 mods.
Yeah, and you look at Ocala at the dirt... In other words, the dirt tracks and do... Like, this week we went through all of the... A couple of us sat down and went through track by track the car counts and there's some striking things. John Saprakone's All-America Challenge Series only had 10 cars, and you know, these late models. Bobby Deal 2 weeks ago had 12 super late models for his race. And
well, how about this spec motor deal Saturday at Smyrna had 10 or 12 cars.
Yeah, like 13 cars at the Bright House. And these things are, I mean, it's not promoted. It's kind of hard to promote that. I mean, I think these things somehow or another really need to be addressed.
I think the problem is that, to be honest with you, people are getting tired of going and watching 12 to 13 cars race. And I think that only doesn't hurt your racers, but it hurts your grandstand and it hurts your racing facility. And I really think that's a bad deal. You know, and I think no matter what you do, it's going to be the same way every time. And we talked about this earlier, Jack, about, you know, before, about the Ken Kenny deal and the Ray Miller deal. And, you know, that's one of them deals that when them guys are racing somewhere, we give our late models the week off. I mean, we missed the Scott Thompson deal because of Ray didn't have it on his schedule. We didn't know when the date was, and we couldn't take them off the week before. So, but that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to give your guys the nights off so they can go try to run, and that way they can go run for the big money, and then they'll always be back next week.
Hey, Jack, well, you know, one of the things that happens, obviously, is that the cars end up getting diluted. There's too many things for them to do, too many places to go, and too many decisions for guys to make. And so, as I think Billy said, the Saturday night shows start to suffer.
It's called peer pressure.
Yeah, we're running about 10 minutes, 11 minutes past time we were supposed to take in a break. So we're going to give you the last word, man.
We're out of here. Hey, you guys keep up the great work, man. Keep it up, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for having me on.
Jack Smith, we love you, man.
Appreciate it. All right, with that, we're going to take a very short break and be back in just a minute or so.
Race teams know what it takes to get to victory lane. They need to squeeze every drop of power out of every drop of fuel. And with gas prices approaching $4 a gallon, it's the same with your personal or work vehicle. Action Speed and Custom on Nova Road introduces the HyperTech Max Energy Power Programmer. Get more power, use less fuel, gas or diesel, a 2 to 6 mile per gallon increase. Do the math, and you'll save big bucks for years to come. Action Speed and Custom's been selling high-performance racing and custom car and truck accessories for 30 years. Step bars, toolboxes, trim and bed covers, you name it, they have it, and specializing in high-tech computer-controlled vehicles. Stop by or call Action Speed and Custom, 231 North Nova Road, just north of ISB and across from the Daytona Mall. Call 252-2632 or check them out online at actionspeedandcustom.com. Stop by today for Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, as featured on the Bobby Likas Car Clinic Show.
Coastal life at its best. That's Volusia and Flagler County. Hi, I'm Jan Gage, owner of Flagler, Ormond, Halifax, New Smyrna, and DeLand magazines. Our July issue is our water issue, celebrating life on the water. Deadline June 1st. Business owners, what are you doing? Don't wait. Call today. 299-9568. That's 299-9568.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome back to Trackside tonight. I am Randy Dye.
I'm still Joe Dirt Lineberry.
And I just made it back. I'm Billy the Kid.
Where you been, Bill?
Hey, had to take a break.
Jack does a great job. If he didn't really promote himself all that well. You should go on and look at Karnak.com, look at the website. There's a variety of different opportunities for you to investigate local short track racing. As he said, not only local short track racing, but on up into Georgia and some other places.
And also, just like he said, people want to be able to listen to radio when they want to listen to it. Karnak and, of course, RealRacingUSA.com, the only resource where you can actually click on Trackside Tonight any time of day and hear tonight's or any archived program that was already done.
So when you guys aren't here, you can go on Tuesday and listen to me.
I've done that. When I've not been here, I have gone on to that website, clicked it, and listened to it. I really have. So I mean, it is a great thing because it's not always convenient to get it, listen to it on an hour, particularly when I'm out of town. So
right.
With that, anyway, I guess we've got
one guy that listens to us on the internet. I think's on the line right now, Jimmy G. Jimmy, what's up?
Jimmy, where are you listening to us from?
Longwood.
Longwood, so you got to be listening on the internet.
Oh, yeah,
we know the signal doesn't get down that far, so we're glad that you are. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm listening here. My lady friend's listening up in Indiana, so we got you covered.
Where in Indiana does she listen from?
Evansville,
Indiana. Does she listen every week?
Yeah, usually we try to listen together.
Why come? So she won't call. She just has to tell you what's on her mind. So you call, right?
Well, yeah. No, she's pretty good about it. She's been around racing for years and antique cars. So
guys, I saw Jimmy in traffic the other day, and I pulled up next to him and said, "Hey, Jimmy, push those cars out of there so we can get this green light." It was great.
Does she got any of her friends up there in Evansville listening with her?
I'm not sure, actually. I think it's just the two of us right now.
Okay.
But there may be a few others. They run an antique. Her son runs an antique stock car and comes down here and runs us at Zephyr Hills once or twice a year. So you'd be surprised who's out there listening to you guys. I even got a handicap friend of mine over in St. Pete. He always listens. So.
Oh, he listens on the internet over in St. Pete?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Go, Brian.
Well, good. We need to say hello. His name's Brian?
Yeah, Brian Lowhead.
Hey, Brian.
His grandfather worked over there at Sunshine.
Oh, okay.
Ran the Jeep. He was a fireman over there.
Well, we need to give a shout-out to Brian. Thanks for
cool.
listening.
Yeah. Anyways, getting there with Karnak and Jack, it's been a pretty good website over the years, If anybody needs to know anything about racing, in Florida, you can usually find it there, and plus, a lot of other assorted items there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's a great resource, man. We love being a part of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's struggled over the years. We've, you know, there's been some problems there, but, you know, he's stuck with it, and you know, he's like us old-timers. You know, we enjoy what we're doing.
Yeah, Jack's a professional, man.
But
I mean, he does a good job.
Yeah, it's a business. See, we've got wingless, non-wing sprint cars coming this Friday night down to Orlando Speed World. And I got my antiques are going to be down in Charlotte County Saturday night for anybody who's down that way.
So you got a busy week.
Well, I'm not going to Punta Gorda. My lady friend's coming down. We're gonna.
That's another show.
That's some premium time. Yeah.
That's a different show.
Time. Jimmy, looking good though, you guys. Yeah. What'd you do? 65 pounds since October.
Over that, yeah.
That is
yeah.
another show. That's the show they have here in the morning with Tasso. Yeah.
From size 60 down to 48.
Yeah, he's looking good, you guys.
Yeah, and anyways, so on a we were down testing Saturday. Gene Vitelli, one of our antique cars, and his motor shut off. And he put her in a wall down there. I wanted to say hello to him. He's all right, but he's got some arthritis. Of all things,
these antique cars got antique drivers, most of them, don't they?
That's no doubt,
man. Gene's running modifies and everything up north and everything, and we're still confused because the car had a starter, although we had to push it, but it just shut off on us. And well, I'll tell you.
Speaking of Gene, we got Gene online too.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys go.
Jimmy, thanks, man.
Thanks for the call.
I got a lady down there. You guys take care.
Thanks, bro. Jimmy.
Hello to all your friends in Indiana.
Right. All right, let's go to line two. Hey, Gene.
Hello, how are you?
Good, we got to do it quick. We got another caller right behind you.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to say about time you came back to work.
Say that again?
About time you came back to work.
Oh, nice, thanks. Okay, I appreciate it. I'm glad you knew that I was not here and that you missed me.
You
can That's your way of saying you missed me. I appreciate the sentiment.
Of course. Who else can I rib as badly as I can rib you?
Gene, you know that Kyle Busch would have won that race Saturday night. That's what everybody says.
I know that.
And probably would have won the Craftsman Truck Race on Friday night.
Yeah.
Got turned around.
Yeah,
well, you know what? With all due respect to Kyle Busch getting turned around, here's what I have to say about that. Gee whiz. I mean, he's done enough turning around himself, so.
This guy, he's on fire.
I mean, you know, I mean.
I just had to throw that in there.
I mean, Randy, we know
okay,
you don't
listen,
like him.
I'm going to wind this up. You're right.
Randy.
I'm going to give you a shot. Pick the pick the Coca-Cola 600 winner.
You know who I want.
Okay, Junior.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take
one question.
Ask me one question.
Yeah, you're always back in NASCAR. And supporting NASCAR and all the decisions. How come a couple of weeks ago they packed Michael Waltrip in a race and he didn't get nothing? How come?
Well, the answer to that is that by parking him, in effect, it cost him a lot of points and it cost him a lot of positions, and so it cost him both money and points. It's the same; it has the same effect as a penalty after the fact.
If he kept racing, he probably would have got a penalty.
Yeah.
But I believe they did the same thing to Musgrave, and Musgrave came out with him losing a point.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, earlier this year.
It's not Michael Waltrip. He's Musgrave.
Well, yeah. I mean, what Musgrave did was there was a difference. Musgrave went and took somebody else out. Okay, I mean, deliberately turned him, used the car as a weapon. That's a big difference.
That's what Michael Waltrip, because they called it rough driving.
Well, rough driving is different. You could, what Todd Bodine did to Hornaday was rough driving. Okay, that was wrong, and I don't care what Todd Bodine talks about bump drafting. There was no bump. You don't bump draft in the trioval, okay?
You bump drafting, well, you wrecked it.
In bump drafting, by its very nature, is you go up behind a guy, you get a run, and you hit him in the tail, and you shoot him forward.
Yeah.
You don't go up behind him, rub all over his bumper, turn him around. That's not bump drafting. Okay?
All right, Jeff Gordon does every weekend.
Stop it, get
out of here. Okay,
yeah,
good night,
Gene.
We got this board lit up like a Christmas tree. We got to go. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay,
all right, bye.
Doughboy, hang in there. Right now, we're going to go to line one, and Greg is with us on Trackside tonight. What's happening, Greg?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right, man. Thanks for calling.
I've been listening to you guys' show quite a bit, but I went to Barberville the last 3 or 4 weeks, and, man, there's a top-notch facility there for dirt track, you know?
Thank you very much, man. So you enjoyed yourself.
But no, the problem we got is the sand track. What happened to the dirt? We've been getting ate up out there.
Well, let me tell you, man, it's been tough. And you know, Greg, I mean, being at that dirt track just a few times that you have, it's a tough recipe in the formula. And I want you to keep listening tonight because Patrick Williams is on the line, and we're going to talk to Patrick, a guy that knows what it's like to not only win at that racetrack, but, you know, what that track needs to be competitive. But I'm going to throw this to Billy because he is the resident chef when it comes to the racetrack.
The simple formula is we can't get enough water in the racetrack, and this week we're going to probably till it up a little bit more and probably try to get some water on the inside. And where you're sitting is probably in the drive through in turn one, and the sun beats on that all day long. And turn three and four has a little bit of shade, so that's a little tough. So we're going to try something different this week. And for 2 weeks in a row, it's kind of bit us. And what's happening is it's when you put the water down, it's almost like a mud puddle. You know, when you put the water down, the mud puddle disappears. You have this little layer you can walk by with your foot, and you hit it, it's dust.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what we need. We kind of need to peel it first and then maybe put a little bit of water on and go back to it. But I think we're going to do this week, maybe put a little sheep's foot on it, put the water down in the sheep's foot some, put the water down, in, you know, get the water down in the track a little bit. And, you know, without a doubt, we don't want to dust you guys up there. I'd rather have the dust in three or four where nobody is, but unfortunately, it's just something we have to work on, and we are going to work on it very strong this week.
Oh, that's a good deal because it's really getting bad out there.
Greg,
really
what is the best part of the program in your eyes, man? What do you enjoy the most out there?
I tell you what, I'm a modified guy. I like them modified. So I know you guys was talking about them earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, they're just a good show. Actually, you got a good show out there, all of them.
Thanks, man. They tore a couple of them open wheels up on Saturday night, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, didn't they? They sure did.
Yeah, they did, man.
Greg,
how
often are you out there, man?
I'm out there every weekend, buddy.
I'll tell you what you do when we put you on hold. Give me your telephone number and your name, and I'll set you up with two passes for this Saturday night.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, but thanks, Greg.
All right, buddy.
And Mark's going to talk to you on hold.
Stay on hold.
And right now we are going to go to a young man that picked up yet another victory to notch into his resume. Now driving for Bill Thompson, the number 38, Rick Bliss Construction, Alderman Plumbing, B&L Pool Resurfacing, sponsor number 38, Patrick Williams. Patrick from Archer, what's happening, man?
What's going on, bud?
Thanks for taking a few minutes. I know you're working on race cars with Doughboy Signs, and I'll tell you, man, we didn't get a whole lot of time in Victory Lane on Saturday night. All of the emotions just flying wild. But, you know, Patrick, you've won a lot of races, not only on asphalt, but certainly on dirt, modified, late model, just about everything. And this one's got to rank right up there, man, just simply because of the emotions.
Well, you know, I mean, it really does. And it meant a lot to me. And I told you and I told Billy a long time ago that Mr. Thompson needed a win. You know, his kid got killed a little over 2 years ago, I think this past a week ago today, Mark, 2 years since his kid got killed. And he hadn't won a race since then, you know. And he was kind of, when we talked, before the season started, he was a little hesitant about, you know, I mean, you start going through different drivers and it's got to play on your emotions a little bit, you know, and I'm going to tell you something. When I was standing on the front straightaway, I talked to Scott's mama today, and, you know, to see her standing with a tear in her eye wasn't that bad. I mean, ladies show their emotions a lot more than men do.
Sure.
When I looked over at Mr. Thompson, he had a tear in his eye. I lied. He got choked up over that. Yeah. I ain't going to lie to you.
Patrick, you talk about different drivers. He was using a driver out of Plant City. They went to the 88, changed it from the original 38 that Scott used to run, went to the 88, and Phil Cobb was the driver for a couple of seasons. They traveled with the National Late Model Series, and things obviously just weren't, mutually beneficial for Bill and Phil. Talk about your relationship with Bill Thompson and how this has developed, and have you learned anything, or is he, in fact, learning from you as well? Talk about that.
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, as y'all know, I lost my dad last July, and, you know, Bill lost his son, and it's kind of a good fit for us. You know, every once in a while, you know, he'll get a little upset and want to talk about Scott, and, I mean, I talk about my dad a little bit, but we work good together. You know, we're kind of on the same page. You know, I'm after it constantly. I'm on the phone with Ivan at Lowell, and I'm on the phone with this one and that one, and me and Bill talk pretty much every day, and, you know, it's been a good deal. I mean, the deal with Phillip didn't work out. I don't know why. You know, just different driving styles. You know, people are different. And, yeah, I really think this deal is going to work out. We've done a bunch of talking. We're going to run Volusia some more this year. We're going to, I think next year we may try to run the National Late Model Series some more. I think we're going to, in August, we're going to go to Alabama. We're going to hit Penton and East Alabama in that deal. Probably be at Volusia at least one night a month, probably two most of the time. You know, and I really think it's a good deal right now, and I got the man his first win, and I think there's a lot more to come.
Patrick, you said something Saturday night that really got to me. I mean, part of the relationship in the development process of you and Mr. Thompson coming together in 2008, you said that you would do this on one condition, that he goes back to the 38 and puts Scott's name on the race car. And that says a whole lot right there.
Well, you know, he told me, he said, I want to do something for Scott, but I don't like the unloving memories, though. He said, you see so much of it. He said, I want to do something a little different. And I told him, I said, well, you know, and that's like I told him, the same thing I told you the other night. I said, well, number one, I want to go back to 38. That was Scott's deal. You know, and I mean, for him to even be racing after losing his kid says a lot for his character, you know, because that's what he did with his kid every week. And for him to come back through that gate every week, you know, he thinks about it every week. You know, when he's watching that car go around, just like you said the other night, Joe. I mean, there's three or four different times you almost called me Scott Thompson.
Oh, yeah. That was unbelievable. But that's what it's about, Patrick. I mean, remembering the accomplishments of this young man and what he left us and the fact that you are an integral part of carrying on that whole tradition of the Thompson Motorsports. It's pretty darn cool.
Well, you know, we got East Bay 2 weeks ago to run the Scott Thompson Memorial race they have there for the National Late Model deal. Number one, that's the first time I'd ever been to East Bay. And number two, besides Bill, I didn't know none of them people.
Right.
You know, and they all walked up and they took me in like I was one of their own.
Yeah.
You know, and that said a lot for the kind of character those people are. You know, and Bill told me before we went, he said, now I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a bunch of people around, but I'll try to keep them away from you as much as possible and let you concentrate on what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was expecting 25, 30 people. Joe, there was 150 people there.
Wow.
Around that trailer constantly. And, I mean, I was having to kind of dodge in and out of people to get to the car.
Sure.
But it's what it was about. You know what I'm saying? And I'd have never said a word about it. We qualified second, had a good run, wound up seventh. You know, and seventh don't sound too good, but the way East Bay is, if I'd have been five car lengths further ahead, I'd have been third.
Yeah, yeah.
We were all in a big wad across the finish line, three wide for fifth.
Wow.
You know? And, I mean, for Scott's mama to still come to the racetrack, that means a lot to me. You know, and just like I told her on the phone today, the reason I went up in the grandstands and got her the other night, because, you know, I didn't know if she really thought that she was welcome out there. I just wanted her to know that she's way more than welcome, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, with the picking up the big win Saturday night and the about the second or third time you've been in the car, and I know the first time y'all brought the car to Volusia, I thought it was pretty quick. I thought it was probably right there, right around Abden. I don't know that it could have won, but second would have probably been good. But, you know, looking at the deal Saturday night and running off like you did from him, and like I told Mr. Thompson when he was driving out the gate Saturday night, you got to like your chances on June the 6th at Ocala Speedway for the Powell Memorial. You are a winner of that on asphalt before. You are one of only several drivers that are going to give it a shot on the dirt that already have a win on the asphalt. What would it mean to you to win that deal on dirt and win it for that family, and much less, you know, keep your success going in that deal?
Well, you know, I mean, you know how this deal works, Billy. And, I mean, I want to succeed everywhere we go and everything we do, just like I want to do in life. And, you know, it'd mean a lot to me. I don't know that it'd mean as much as winning the Scott Thompson Memorial race would have meant in that car, but it'd mean a lot. You know, that meant a lot to me Saturday night. That was my first dirt late model win Saturday night.
Wow.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
Right.
But, you know, and like you said, I kind of took to that thing like a duck to water. You know, the first night it was pretty good. We went to East Bay and I wasn't bad, and I felt like I was way better the other night. And I just hope I can keep getting better in it every week because, you know, and I told Mr. Thompson Saturday night when I come out of the car, I said, as good as this thing looked, it can be better.
Well, you know,
and I'm not done working on it. I promise you, I'm going to stay after it. I want to win five or six more 40 years over, you know.
Patrick, can you stay with us for about 3 minutes, man, while we go to a break? Would you mind that?
Not a problem.
I've got a question for you, Patrick, before we go to break. Okay.
Right.
Why would you spend, you know, you've been in our show, in our studio on a Monday night and spent your time here, and then you call in and spend time here. Why are you crazy enough to call us and be with us on a Monday night? I just want to know. What does this do anything for you in your program to be here with us on Monday night?
Well, it does something for the fans that call y'all and listen. And I'll be honest with you, Randy, and this ain't nothing against you, but I mean, I've met you one time. I think you're a nice guy. This is for Billy and Joe.
All right, man.
Well, the one thing about it, he calls it like he sees it.
Yes,
that's
he does.
A good thing.
You're the same way, man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you and I get along. Hey, you know, if we spend any time, you and I get along just fine.
Randy, it ain't no different than mine and yours. The way we see it in Verdon Fields, you want to start on the pole, and I want you to start 10th every week.
No doubt. Folks, we're talking to Patrick Williams. He's checking in from his sign shop, Doughboy Signs, out of Archer, Florida. We're going to be right back with more with Patrick Williams. Hold on, Pat.
Main Street celebrates Memorial Day weekend with the Metro PCS Red, White, and Brew. This huge street party starts at 6 p.m. on Saturday, May 24th, and continues till midnight. Enjoy some local fun at the second annual beer festival featuring a large variety of American microbrews. Well-known national brands are available for those less adventurous. This close-to-traffic festival offers live music, several food courts, vendors, and a kid zone. Admission is free and parking is plentiful. Admission is free and parking is plentiful throughout the Main Street area and at the Ocean Center parking garage. See you Saturday, May 24th at 6 p.m. This festival is sponsored by Metro PCS, Coors Brewing Company, the Main Street Merchant Association, the City of Daytona Beach, Black Crow Events, and News Talk 1150 WNDB. For event information, call 386-255-9300 or visit our website at WNDB.am. Main Street celebrates Memorial Day weekend with the Metro PCS Red, White, and Brew. See you Saturday, May 24th at 6 p.m.
Are you confused about getting in shape and feeling better? Do you have questions about your exercise program? I invite you to tune in to Fitness Friday every Friday at 9:06, right after Wake Up Daytona. Fitness Friday is sponsored by Bodies Personalized Fitness and Healthy Inspirations Healthy Weight Loss. Fitness Friday gives you info, answers questions, and has guests to improve your quality of life through proper nutrition, positive motivation, and productive exercise. So tune in with me, Tasso Kiriakis, and the Fitness Friday gang at 9:06 on WNDV, 1150 AM.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Oh boy, what's up, buddy?
Before you do that, make sure, Greg, you called earlier and Billy promised you some tickets. If you're still listening, call back because we dropped the call and we didn't get your address. So we'd certainly appreciate you calling back. Okay, Billy.
Doughboy, you still there, man?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hanging on for you.
We got to take a little break and pay some bills. And you know, we were talking before we went to break. You were talking about, we talked about your big win Saturday night, and brought up the Powell Memorial. And one thing that you said that struck me was is that you wanted to win that Thompson Memorial so bad. But let me tell you something, big boy. You got a pretty good shot of winning the Thompson Memorial at Volusia Speedway Park because you've been there twice, you've been fast both times, and now you got a win under you. I don't think they can slow you down, man.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you the biggest thing is you just got to stay after everything, man. You can't relax, you know, and them guys, they're all going to get better every week, too, you know, and that's the thing I like about Bill. I mean, he's not a millionaire by no means. I mean, we got, you know, all of them guys and names that are on that car are friends of his, you know. They help a little bit, but fuel costs, you know, fuel costs are crazy right now. We all know that. I mean, I ain't going to sit here and harp on it. Everybody hears it every day, and everybody hates it, you know.
Yeah, but
Bill does a good job for me.
Yeah, but you got to give yourself. I mean, I we've been talking about this since Saturday night, and I will tell you, talking to Mr. Thompson, and Mr. Thompson's a go-getter, and I'm gonna tell you right now, you're a go-getter too, though. I mean, you're that's one thing that Scott had going for him. He was a go-getter. He wanted to continue to work on that thing. He wanted to continue to get better. He wanted to continue to get faster. And I think that's one thing that Mr. Thompson sees in you, that you are the same. You want everything. You want to win every time, and that's what his kid wanted to do. What I'm saying is, you got to give yourself a little more credit than what you do. And I know you're not. And I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to hype you up or nothing. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen you win in a modified. I've seen you win in a hobby stock car. Now I've seen you win in a late model car on dirt. I've seen you win on asphalt in a sportsman car. I've seen you win in a mini stock car. I saw you win in a modified on asphalt. I've seen you win in a late model or whatever on asphalt. So come on, man. I mean, it's. I think this is a match made for the two of you.
You've seen him win all this stuff. I'm coming out June 28th. It's the Daytona Dodge night, I believe.
And that's the Scott Thompson Memorial for Volusia
Speedway. Yep. I'm coming to see Patrick Williams win.
Good deal.
All right.
Randy, I got one thing to say for you.
Okay.
How do you think Daytona Dodge would look on the side of that black 30?
Well, you know,
nice right there now.
You realize that I'm racing too, and Daytona Dodge doesn't sponsor me. So
no, you know what, Patrick, you're right. He doesn't. I mean, I've seen this all new Dodge Charger. He's got the dugout on board.
Got new hats tonight from dugout.
Yeah, very nice. He's got dugout sportswear.
These are nice.
They're
man.
Very nice. He's got
when you
the Land Motorsports,
I'll let you sign mine.
Yeah, he's got everybody except his own dealership. Let's talk about sponsors. Patrick, you mentioned Bill Thompson and most of these guys still intact that were on the car when Scott raced it. You've got B&L Pool Resurfacing, Rick Bliss Construction. I know he's a very important part of that. Alderman Plumbing. Is Felton's Grocery still on board?
No. A lot of them guys, you know, it was kind of a family deal there, you know, and the economy's hit a lot of people pretty hard. You know, like I say, you know, all them guys are friends. Rick Bliss is about he's the only one that's still got his name on the car. The rest of them guys help a little bit here and there.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, But, I mean, times is tough, man.
Yeah, I know.
We're doing everything we can. That's why we're not racing every week.
Right.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was talking to Bill today, and it cost him $140 in fuel alone to come Saturday night and go back home.
I believe
it. But at the same time, you know, like Billy said, and I mean, I don't, you know, I try not to take a whole lot of credit for it, but I mean, I am a pretty accomplished race car driver. I've won over 100 features, and like Billy said, man, I've won in everything imaginable, you know. And my hobby stock deal, or street stock, that's what they call it now, kind of got overlooked there Saturday night. I started 25th and run 6th.
I was just about to mention that, man. That was unbelievable. Had a little problem in the heat race and then came back and clawed your way up into 6th, man. I was watching it.
I would love to see that race be 40 laps.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, I mean, the thing with the late model the other night is, you know, me and Bill hit on a little something there. I went to a shop the other night. I go down about once a week, and it's 2 hours from my house. I drive all the way down there, 2 hours home, to help him work on the car. And I sat there and looked through his notes, and, you know, I looked through all his notes from when Scott drove the car, from when Philip drove the car. And I kept seeing a recurring. There was one setup there that was fast every time they used it. You know, and you kind of got to find what a car likes. You get a car at a happy medium, and you can kind of adjust from there and work from there. And that's what I put in it, you know. And like Bill told me on the front straightaway, he went out there, and he looked at me and gave me a hug, and he said, I guess we guessed right tonight, didn't we? You know, and that's all that stuff is, man. It's a guessing game.
Sure.
But once you get things down a little better, you get a little more of a calculated guess. And,
yeah.
And that's what I'm after right now, you know. And, I mean, you race with guys like Richard Ferry and Jeff Hunter and, you know, Jason Davis and all them guys. They're there every week. You know, and it feels good for me to show up two nights and run off like I did the other night. It really shows me that we're on top of what we're doing there.
I was pretty impressed with Jason Kimball Saturday night running that crate car, 79 car. Jason Kimball.
A lot of people don't know about Jason Kimball.
He got up to second, man.
That kid's something else. I mean, he owns Prowler go-karts.
Yeah, he's
good. A lot
good.
Of people don't know that. And I'm going to tell you, he's
a good guy.
He's going to turn some heads. He's got a crate motor in that thing.
Yeah, he's
and
a good
he wheels
guy.
It now. And yep. And Jason is a nice guy, you know. And
Patrick, listen, we got just a few more minutes. Let me just take this opportunity to talk about Doughboy Signs, because you are developing into perhaps one of the most recognizable and prominent graphics businesses in the state of Florida when it comes to race cars. We're seeing them more and more. People are falling in line, finally seeing just the kind of product that you can provide them. Things are going pretty well in the sign shop, aren't they?
Not doing bad, you know. I mean, luckily for me, the economy really hadn't killed me that bad. I'm still pretty steady. I got to go to Georgia in the morning. I got 3 race cars to do tomorrow. You know, one of them's a brand new customer, which is always nice. The new ones are always nice. They got 2 repeats, which are nice too. You know, it's just we pretty much specialize in the motorsports side of it, you know, because it's what I'm into. I mean,
right.
I kind of, you know, when I figured out I wasn't going to be a race car driver for a living, I wanted to do something where I could still be involved, and it interested me, you know. And you know, and like I say, me being over there at Ocala and at Volusia running on the dirt, you know, it's kind of broadened my horizon there a little bit, and I get out a little more of these places, and things are looking good. They really are, Joe.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We can't thank you enough for joining us here tonight, and definitely look forward to seeing you the next time you strap into no matter what kind of race car it is. Patrick Williams, thank you so much, man.
I want to say one other thing, Joe. You just don't know how good it felt to walk around the back of that race car and see you standing there. When I get to see you, that means I did pretty damn good. That
Likewise.
Time.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
No problem.
Appreciate
man.
It.
Thanks for having me.
Right. Driver of the Bill Thompson on number 38, the Rick Bliss Construction late model of Volusia Speedway Park, picking up the win Saturday night, Patrick Williams from Archer, Florida.
You know, he talked about, you know, Bill and his wife continuing to be involved in racing even after the loss of their son. And, you know, there's so many of those situations out there. You know, I think what people don't realize, and I know a lot of people would look at a situation and say, how could you do that? How could you continue on when you lost your son? In some cases, it's a result of racing. And in other cases, it's, you know, other things. You know, you look at the tragedy that's fallen to the Earnhardt family, the Petty family, the Allison family. You can go on and on and
Randy,
on.
Randy, let
and
me
on.
Add to that. Bill Thompson and Miss Thompson are no longer married. Both still at the racetrack every time Patrick is. She's in the grandstands. Of course, Bill's down in the infield area. And it was like that, of course, when Scott raced the car, which you can understand. Both parents wanted to be involved at each other's extent. You know, him being the car builder and what have you. And then his mom wanting to support him. But even now, they're still both at the racetrack.
Well, You know, I don't know their individual situation.
I just thought that was unique.
Yeah. But it is. It's an interesting part of the equation. But I think what people don't recognize is that in a lot of cases this is a way of life, and even though tragedy falls, it's part of life, and people go on and go on and on. I remember when Richard Petty, and he was criticized for this comment, but he said, part of living is dying, and this is what we do. This is how we make a living. This is what we do, and not doing it is not an option. And so I think probably in case of Bill Thompson, it's an option. But I think probably the reason he continues is to honor the memory of his son, not to quit. And in his mind, that would be probably a dishonor. So. I admire people who manage to be able to do that. I don't know, that's an amazing test of character. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
It was good for me Saturday night that car was in Victory Lane, and then that was good for the whole place. It was good for Jude. It was good for Joe.
It was good
for Saul. And when the car came to the checkered flag, I had my radio in my hand, and I pushed down the button, and I simply said, for those of you who don't know, talking to all my officials, and I said, for those of you who don't know, Scott Thompson was our 2005 track champion. In 2006, he lost his life. And now his car is in Victory Lane again at our racetrack. And, I mean, that was real special for me. I was one of probably the second one to Victory Lane right behind Joe. And
yep. It
wouldn't have mattered who was driving that race car. The first
That's
thing
right.
I did was gave Mr. Thompson a hug, and he was crying. And I'm going to tell you something right now, I was crying too. And, I mean, it's okay to cry. It was a hard thing for me.
It was.
We got just a few minutes to go. You guys didn't get to see the Saturday night version of what was going on up at Charlotte, because you were busy racing. But I watched some of it. Did you see any of the highlights?
I did, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Did you see? I think probably other people pick out things, the spectacular things. First off, congratulations to Casey Kane and the
Budweiser
Dodge. Yeah, got him in the race by vote, and then went out and won the race.
Did everything he possibly could.
Did you guys get to see any of Hornish's race car?
No.
That race car goes down the racetrack like. Almost what they call it, crabbing. You know, it is an amazing. They've got the
turkey
rear,
tracking
the rear of that car towed in so bad it goes down the racetrack sideways down the straightaway. It looks like it's going sideways.
But he wasn't the only one.
But it was
this
most
was the worst.
Extreme.
Sure.
The first time he went in the corner, I went, well, here we go. It's going around. I've never seen a car that looks so loose, but it wasn't. It was an optical illusion.
And NASCAR's saying whatever they're doing, it's helping the car. They like it. It's
legal.
It's legal.
Okay,
they may not
legal.
Like it, but it's
they
legal.
They don't like it, but okay. It's legal. Okay. And it's interesting. I'm going to take Gene's side here for a minute. Jeff Gordon is one of those that's whining. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a kind of a backdoor comment out there by Darby, and he says, "What are you whining about? You guys are doing it all last year."
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And they just caught on to it, and they've taken it to the next level, the most extreme level.
Is this something they have to do for speed and handling?
Well, what they're doing is the car. Everybody commented about how pushy the car was, how you couldn't turn, the nose wouldn't turn. Okay. And they couldn't figure out how to get it to turn.
All right.
So what they're doing is they're using the rear end to help it turn.
I got you.
Okay. Well, we've got about a minute and a half. Who are you going to take this week? Who are you taking?
I think it's Dale Earnhardt Jr. time too.
I'd love to take Dale Earnhardt Jr. I'll be honest. I'd like to see him win. I just think Kyle Busch is going to be extremely tough, and I'm not jumping his bandwagon, but I can't take Dale Earnhardt Jr. because it might be a sweep.
We're down to a minute. Kyle Busch's. He came out in an introduction. Got his whole crew and did the, basically kiss my rear end, bow to the fans.
Speed
I'm going to tell you what, that's fine. I tell you what, the next time they introduce him, somebody ought to throw something at him.
They probably will.
It is, and I don't mean anything that'll hurt him, but something that will splash.
Write these down. Coke 600 for 2008, Greg Biffle.
Good call.
Take that hat off, son. It's got your brain swelled up.
Watch that.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Helio Castroneves in the morning race.
Yeah, put your hat back on because you're sweating.
I'm taking Helio Castroneves because not only can he dance, but that kid can drive.
Yep. Let's talk about the Indy 500, or do you want
to? Well, we got 45 seconds.
Come on, you guys.
I'm taking Helio Castroneves.
I'm taking Danica.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Take Dan Weldon or Scott Dixon?
Milka Duno. Have you seen her?
Are you taking her?
I think Danica looks good.
Where are you going to dinner? Sorry. She's a race car driver. Okay, look, hey.
I'll tell you next week.
Joe, it's next Monday night is Memorial. Next
Marco
Monday
Andretti.
Memorial, and we will not be here.
We will not. However, okay. Volusia Speedway Park will be in action. It's Hero Night on Saturday night, May 24th, as we celebrate Memorial Day 2008. Active or reserve military, fire, rescue, and law enforcement. You will get in free with one guest as well with your ID or your uniform.
And we'll see you back here on Trackside tonight. Not next Monday, but the week after. And happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Good night, everybody.